podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Today we have Lewis Southgate with us. How is it?
Hello. Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
Highly extensive amateur career. We'll get into it. We'll get into your professional side of it, what you're looking to do. Obviously, I know we had a little bit of a chat off screen, or off camera, mic, whatever it's called. And then, yeah, we'll take it from there. What I do, strip it back, all the way back. How did you get into boxing? Yeah.
So, started off a bit rocky, to be honest, yeah. So, my dad took me down to my local boxing club, which is St. Mary's Boxing Club in Chatham, when I was 9. And didn't even make it through the front door, to be honest. Got to the front door, and my first boxing coach at the time, Dave Bowler, took one look at me and said, "How old are you?" I said, 9. He went, shook his head and said, "Come back when you're 10 years old." So, to be honest, I was quite happy with that because I didn't want to do boxing at all. When my dad first said he was taking me down, I was not up for it. So went back, done little bits of training with my dad here and there, started getting into a bit of football, forgot about the boxing. Come to my 10th birthday, turns out it was on like a Monday or Wednesday that they do the training on. So on my 10th birthday, my dad took me back down, same geezer there, Dave Bowler, was at the door again. I said, "I'll come back a year later, 10 years old." And then he let me in. And from there, I was there 11 years, I think.
And so you started down, as you started there, you said you didn't want to box. When you first walked in, what changed your mind then, if you've been there 11 years?
I remember the first session, I remember what I felt like after. I think I was still in primary school. And I remember I come back the next day and school, I was aching, like my arms was hurting, my legs was hurting. And I come back and I told everyone at school, "I've had my first boxing session yesterday." Like, I told my teachers and I was like, they didn't believe me because I was only this little tiny little skinny boy. They was like, "No, you didn't go boxing. What did you go and watch a boxing match?" I said, "No, I started training," but no one actually believed me that I was boxing. But I can't remember too much of it, but I didn't box till I was 11. So I was there at 10. I was there for a whole year before I boxed because back then, you couldn't get carded until you was 11 years old. So I was in the beginner's class for a whole year, until I was 11. And I boxed about a couple months after my 11th birthday.
Did you get into it? Did you enjoy it? Or like...
Well, my first fight.
Yeah, like, or your first sort of year in? Because did it start to become like addictive or...?
It did, but I never really took it serious, boxing at all, until I got to about 13, 14. So the first couple of years, honestly, like I had a shit record when I first started. Like, I think I lost my first two fights, won my third, and I think I lost another couple again after that. But then the day that it changed, I remember same man that coached me first, Dave Bowler, we went to a show. I think it was might have been like a West Ham show, I think. And I was basically took to loose against this West Ham boy, and it was his dad's show. And so we went there. I heard Dave talking. He just took me there to lose, basically. And I went there. And for some reason, I just thought I'm gonna give it a go. Like, I'm gonna go there, and I'm gonna try and smash this kid up, basically. And I went there, beat him. After that, and then I don't know. After that, I just thought if I tried, maybe I could actually do something. And after that, my mind did change a little bit.
So you say that you started with a bad record, but in the amateurs, it's one of those where you're going in 50-50 fights, so you're not building anything. You're just going in there, and they're trying to match you with potentially your ability at the time.
Yeah.
Or would you have said that you was pretty much more an away fighter at the time?
I used to box all over the place. Like, if they rung me up on like a Wednesday and said, "You're fighting in Manchester on Saturday against whoever," I was there. Like, I never really got into who I was boxing at the time, because when we was like 11, 12, 13, that's when everyone's just starting out. So you could be boxing someone who's had 5 fights, but they don't know the level of them yet, because they could be really good at 5 fights, or they could be like just average. Mm. So at that age, like, you don't really know by the record, because not many people have had too many fights. So, but I just took any fight, I did really.
So you started, how many fights did you have when you was like 11, 12, when you first started out?
I think my first year I probably had about 6 or 7, next year probably about the same. It wasn't until I started doing all right in the nationals, because I think the first time I was entered in the minors, I lost in the first round. So, but if you go all the way through, you probably have five or six fights in them 6 weeks. So it wasn't until I was doing all right in like the box cups and then making my way into like the nationals and getting into like the semis and the finals and stuff that I didn't have too many fights. But once I started doing all right, I was having about 10 plus fights a year.
So what was the first like sort of tournament? Because obviously you got like, as you were saying, the national stuff. Like, what was like the first tournament you entered?
It was the minors. That the first, when I was 11, that was the first thing I'd done. So that's the first like nationals for like the young kids. I'd done that, but I lost. So that's like you start with like the Kent round, then you move on to like the Southern Counties, your quarters and all that. But I lost straight away in the Kents. And then I think next year there was the schoolboys. I think I got to like the Southern Counties or something like that. So it wasn't great at all.
And what weight was you fighting at?
I had my first fight at 27 kilos.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think my big toe's 27 kilos.
Yeah.
Yeah,
about 27 kilos,
yeah. Slab of
paper.
Yeah. Wow, so you done the minors. Did you do the minors again the year after? Or?
No, straight to schoolboys after that.
Okay.
So it's just like basically the same thing, but just the age group above. But that was still within the time where I wasn't taking it serious. Like, I wasn't doing nothing outside the gym. Like, I wasn't going running. I wasn't anything. I was only training when I was at the boxing gym. When I was at the boxing gym, I wasn't doing no outside stuff. I was eating whatever I wanted. I wasn't doing my fitness. I wasn't doing anything like that until, obviously, after that fight, like I mentioned earlier, that's when it changed. But before that, I was just doing it for the fun of it and then just fighting, but not really caring about winning or losing it at all.
But at the time, you're still just a kid, aren't you? So you've still got that, I imagine, the kid mentality where you're going, I just want to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And then boxing's supposed to be a hobby, a bit of fun at the time.
Yeah.
You said about it changing. So you've done the schoolboys. How did you do the schoolboys?
So I think this is Southern Counties on that one.
All right.
Yeah.
So you got past the Kent rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you changed your attitude because of the West Ham fight.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, after that same year, I think I entered my first box cup. So box cups weren't too many around back when I was that age, but now you've got box cups all over the country. Mm. But so this was like a new thing for us. So I think it was two or three fights on the weekend. So you've done like the Friday, Saturday, Sundays, the quarter, semi and the final. And I entered that. And I had a hard weight category as well. I boxed a kid. He come over from Ireland, and I think he had 24 fights, and I think he won 22, and that was who I drew against first in the semis. And I think my record at the time, I had about 14 fights, probably won about half and half record.
Mm.
But I went there, I beat him in the semis, so that was a big win for me. Next day, boxed in a final against a kid from up north somewhere. I think he was from Bristol actually, and I beat him as well. So I won the gold there. So that was like my first kind of thing that I won. Where I got like
taste of success, And I can imagine you've gone from the highest of highs then when you start going, going back to school with your gold medal stuff.
I still remember it now. Like I remember both of them days, like what I was feeling, what happened after, and how the fight actually went. I still got like it in my head, like what happened there.
And then you sort of, I can imagine then everyone's around you and then you sort of get that taste of it then. And then you're just sort of then going on. Did you start doing the running and stuff outside of it then?
I did, yeah. So as I got older, the more I'd done, to be honest. So I must have been about 14 then. So then for that fight, I was doing all my running. I was training properly. I was fighting at the right weight. Like before, I was probably fighting a few kilos heavier than I should have been. But obviously the difference in amateurs is if you're boxing a couple of kilos over your weight, the size difference of the kids is like, it's massive.
Yeah. Because
they're obviously coming down from a not natural weight. And it really does tell when you get in there.
Was there a lot of weight cutting? Obviously, I know it's kids. Interesting to know if there's like weight cutting for kids and stuff, which I know is frowned upon at the moment for adults.
But the problem with the weight cutting I used to do when I was a kid, because I wasn't clued up of it all, I used to just think, chuck a black bag on, go run as far as you can.
Old school.
Yeah, don't eat nothing, don't drink nothing, but it's not the way you should be doing it at all. It's not until actually I turned probably pro that my coach sat me down and he told me how to do it properly, like the weight cuts and eating the right things and how to do everything properly. But up until then, my whole amateur career, to be honest, I probably, that's what I'd done wrong with my weight cut. Because a lot of the time, you realise I used to be trying to beat the scales and training to lose the weight rather than training to actually lose the fight, which was probably one of my main problems as an amateur. Like, I thought the main victory was making my weight, but then you've got to realise you're going to be fighting as well. But then you're getting in there and you're feeling a bit crap, but maybe I should have boxed a little bit higher weights.
Do you think that your opponents would have been the same, though? You imagine, like, so the opponents would be there trying to beat the scales as well, because obviously the pressure that seems to be put on to try and win these gold medals as such.
Yeah, of course. It's the same for everyone, 100%. But there comes to a point where if you want to be the strongest at your weight, and sometimes that don't mean that dropping down you're going to be the strongest at your weight, because obviously you've drained yourself too much. So maybe sometimes the other way, moving up the weight, probably would have done a lot of favours for me as well.
So you go box cup.
Yeah.
Then you go to ABAs?
Yeah, I think so. I entered
the junior ABAs.
The juniors, yeah. And then in between the run-up, between just before the box cup and then in the juniors, I think I went on like a between a 15 and 20 win streak I had, I think. So I was doing all right, but I was boxing every weekend. So if I wasn't boxing in the ABAs that weekend, I would be boxing on a club show somewhere. Next weekend, I'd be in the next round of the ABA. So I had the ball rolling. So done the ABAs. I think I got to the semi-finals that time. And I boxed the kid out of, I think he was out of Repton. That was a good fight.
Repton, good gym as well, isn't it?
Good gym, yeah.
St. Renan's is a good gym, isn't it?
Yeah. Boxed him. I lost there in the semis. But going from not getting out of your county round to getting through all of that, getting into the semis was a bit of a booster for me.
Do you think because of your early days? So when we've spoke to a few guys that have done like the amateurs that you're like, so starting out at 10 and 11, go on and win loads of fights. Do you think the fact that your start being so hard and having that, say, 50-50 record has helped you as you've got older?
Yeah, 100%. But now that I look back now at the kids I boxed when I was that age, they're all professionals now. They're all boxing on Frank Warren shows, the Matchroom shows. They were all good kids, but you don't look back then, you didn't know what they was going to turn out to be like. So even back then, the kids I was boxing was all high level. Like, my whole amateur career, I've never had like an easy fight, as you'd say.
Mm.
Not once, no.
So do you get from the ABAs, juniors,
yep,
then you go carry on juniors next year?
Yeah, I carried on the juniors. I can't remember what I'd done after that. I'd done another box cup as well. We went up to Hull. I'd done that box cup. Boxed, first round, I boxed a kid who represented England and the Worlds and Europeans and stuff, who beat me a couple of years before. So it was like a
little
rematch.
Bit of rivalry.
So we knew each other, and but I was a completely different kid to when I 2 years ago from then to that fight. So I boxed him in the first round, and to be fair, I beat him comfortably. To be fair, considering how the last fight was to the second one, yeah, I beat him quite comfortable. Final, I boxed a kid. I can't remember who I was. A kid I was supposed to beat, but that fight was probably one of my harder fights, to be fair. So I went in there and boxed him. I actually got put over in that fight, but a little bit off balance, but I got put over. And I was thinking, what am I doing down here? I was sitting down and I looked around and I see all these people just cheering for me to be on the floor. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not where I need to be. So I got up and I ended up beating him on points anyway. But yeah, that was a hard fight, but that was a good weekend. So I got the gold for that one as well. And then after that, I think the next weekend after that, I boxed in Harrogate.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you did Harrogate.
Yeah, I've done that. I think I've done that twice. Yeah, I boxed there twice. One as a junior or a youth, and then second time I've done that as a senior. First time I've done it, I boxed I boxed down Kidfield, Nico Levers. He boxes on the Matchroom shows now. I don't know if you've seen
it. I think it rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, so I boxed him. We're good, like, we're decent pals now. Like, yeah. He's a nice boy. But yeah, no, he beat me then in Haringey. We had a good fight, though. We had a couple of good fights, to be fair. It was probably one of my most favourite fights. Like, all action, yeah, trying to punch each other's face in. But it's a nice
weird
boy.
Sport, isn't it? Yeah. A weird sport. You can punch each other's face in, and then you'll get out. And you go, well, obviously, you guys are kids, you're like, oh, we'll have a Coke or something.
Yeah.
I was going to say, go for a beer normally, wouldn't you? But it's a strange sport. So the what about the second time you was at Harrogate?
Second time was, that was a few years later. So I boxed, it was my first year as a senior. So I was 18 or 19. I won it that time as the senior, the open class one, but that was hard. Boxed a kid from Liverpool at first in the first round in the semis, beat him, and then I boxed a boy from Ireland in the final, come over, boxed for Ireland, done whatever he's done. We had a really good fight there. They said it was one of the best fights of the tournament that year, because that was just literally just same again, just trying to take each other's heads off. But no, I enjoyed that one. Got a gold for that one though.
Did any point was England call up or anything like that? Yeah, in the works.
Yeah, so I done when I was a younger, I'd done like, I was on the Euro selections. I went to European selections and stuff. Obviously, I didn't get selected for it, but I was on the England team and stuff like that. So I used to always go up Sheffield and train up there, train with the GB boys, just as far. But the only thing with England, I've always thought they had their set favourites.
I was going to say, it's a face fit. Want.
Yeah. And I never really had that, the amateur style that they looked for. Like, back then it was a lot of point scoring. And moving your feet and just, you know, like I said, point scoring. But I never really had that style, so it never really fitted for me.
Do you think they looked at it because when you do the Olympics and stuff, it's a very, very point scoring.
Yeah.
Like, I think the system changed now, but I think at the time it was very much.
Yeah, and obviously they want, if you're boxing in the Olympics and you're boxing for GB, you might be having five or six fights in a week. So if you have, say if you box on the first day and you give everything on that first day and you come out with injuries, black eyes, and you feel a bit, you feel flat for the next day, that's not what they want.
So then from me, you do the Harringey second time, the ABA seniors?
Yeah, I've done them. My first nationals that I won, I was a youth actually when I was 16. So that was the NABCs, or they used to be called the CWAPs, didn't they, I think, back in the day. So it's like the under 21s, I think it is.
Right.
And I'd done that out of St Mary's. I think I had five or six fights through that and then, through the tournament.
Hmm.
And I won that. That was my first national title that I won. I think I was 16 or 17. As a senior, I'd done the same again, but this time it was out of kid gloves.
So right.
I'd actually stopped boxing when I was 19, I think.
I was going to ask if there was a burnout time period, because I find it happens a lot when you fight really young that people spoke to, they hit sort of the later teenage years and they sort of start to burn out or start to get introduced to drinking. Mm. It's the other side.
Yeah. So I never really... So a lot of people used to go out when they was young, like 14, 15, 16 with the friends and drink and stuff.
Yeah.
But I never really, really done that. Obviously, I did sometimes. But I weren't perfect, but
yeah.
I wasn't. My main thing was boxing. That's all I'd done. I went to school, I boxed, and that was it. And that's all I'd done. But there comes to a point where it was after the elites, actually, and I boxed Nico again. The same boy beat me, and he beat me again. And then I had a little break for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I started going out a lot with my friends. I was 19, just old enough to start going out and stuff. Started going out all the time. Started missing sessions. Started not doing all my running and stuff like that. And then a few weeks turned out to be about 10 months. I had out the ring, I think, before I stepped in the gym again. I wanted a complete refresh. Like, I didn't actually want to get back boxing to compete again, really, at the time. So, me and one of my good friends, we went one day, went down to Kid Gloves. We went in there. I said, I just want to come back boxing to just get fit again. Because obviously I was put on about 12, 13 kilo over my fight weight. I was unfit, just drinking, going out with my friends. Yes. So I just come back and I said, I just want to come back, hit a few pads, do a bit of bad work and just get a bit fit again. So that's all I did to start. And I've probably done that for about, so that was probably in the September. So I probably trained for September, October. And then they said to me, do you want it in the Nationals in November?
Oh, that was quick. Yeah,
quick time, really quick time. And this was after like 10 months out. And I thought, oh, do you know what? And I'll do it. So I lost all that weight again. Entered the Nationals and I ended up winning it. Yeah. So I'd done that. And then I think that was just before, that must have been just before the COVID time. So, So I think I won that and I was having my spark back for that again. Like I wanted to box again probably. I just won that. I had the senior elites ready to go beginning of like March or something. And obviously lockdown happened.
So there was no, I'll strip back a little bit. There was no fallout with St. Mary's, nothing like that. Because I remember going down there. I think we went down there. And I remember like you being spoke about. It's Dan Woolidge. I remember him being spoken about. I remember a few guys, but it was you and Dan Woolidge mainly were being spoken about at St. Mary's as the sort of the next big, like people, the next two big boxers to come out of St. Mary's. I remember, I think we...
Yeah, the Atuma brothers. Well, that was what I tell us before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit older than you, yeah, no. So you had, well, you was with, we were with Warren Simmons, weren't we? But yeah, Dave Bowler and then Matty Bowler took over.
Yeah, Matt, yeah,
Now you've got Aaron Devil, wasn't it?
Yeah. But was there a fallout or anything like that with
not really as such. Like there was like a few little things, but
the usual. Yes.
It's just there. It was nothing serious and I don't know. It's just one of them.
Yeah, it's one of those. We'll move on. So you go to Kent Gloves. Yeah. Who's at Kent Gloves?
So we had the owner of the gym, Dave Shepherd. Yep. He was running the gym and I was getting trained for the Nationals at that time by Ben Davis and Lucian Reed. Obviously, Lucian was still pro boxing himself then. They was my two main coaches. And to be honest, they did get me back into the boxing. Like, yeah. They're the ones that made me compete again. Like, well, everyone down that gym did. Like, did make me want to compete again.
Good gym down there.
It's a good gym.
I've been down there a few times as well. So I think I trained down there. I was trying to do an unlicensed fight at some point. But I enjoyed it down there.
No, it's a good gym. It's got everything down there. All the facilities.
So the COVID hits. What's next?
Because it's straight out the window again.
Yeah. We, I think as we spoke about, COVID has destroyed a lot of, well, yours is amateur career at the time. A lot of pro careers, a lot of promoters. It's like industry, small hall shows. It's like COVID seemed to have been a death of a lot of boxing. So what did you decide? Because you've obviously become pro.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I probably wouldn't have turned pro as early as I did if the lockdown didn't happen. So I would have had another 2 years, I think it was, of being amateur again, which I kind of wish that I did, because them 2 years, I think, would have been my biggest 2 years, like coming off the back of winning the Nationals. A lot of the other kids that was like in front of me were turned pro then, so we was the kind of the next ones coming through. I think maybe them 2 years, maybe I could have won the elites, maybe even boxed for the country. Definitely, but obviously that went out the window because we couldn't train, couldn't compete. So didn't really do anything for the first however months it was. I don't know, how long did it before they opened the gyms up again?
Bloody hell, I was going to say, you're talking about, nearly a year, I think, wasn't it?
Well, they opened up a little bit and then they closed up again.
Yeah, it kept up and down, wasn't it, if I remember?
Yeah.
Which is, I can imagine, if your life is boxing or gym or anything like that, it's really difficult because you're going, right, we're opening. Oh, no, we're not. You're allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. You're like, fucking give us something. Let us train off of it. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, all the training went out the window. to be honest. And it was hard as well, because obviously the work I was doing at the time, I was just full-time teaching boxing as well in like the schools and like community centres and stuff like that. So obviously they was all shut.
So it's even worse, because now you're living. So your living's now just been chucked out the window. So normally if you're teaching boxing, you're trying to stay in boxing, everything should have been chucked out the window.
Yeah. So literally I was left with doing nothing at all, just sitting in my room, drinking Red Bull, playing Call of Duty.
Good time, though. That's a
lot. That was it. And it wasn't until they put the thing out where professional boxers could still train. I can't remember how long till they put that out.
Cool, bloody hell. So you're talking at the end of
Martin and all that used to be over in Sheerness, wasn't it?
And then the lads over in Maidstone as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was sort of just when it was, you were a lad six.
Yeah,
that's it. So it was probably about 8-9 months in, I would have said.
Yeah. So that's the reason I did turn pro, because my pro coaches, that Lee Page and Chris, they wasn't down Kent Gloves.
No, Maidstone, wasn't it?
Yeah, before that. They started using the gym through when they was allowed to use the gym for COVID. That's the gym that they was using.
Yeah.
And I heard that they was training down there, and literally that's just how it come about. Like I said, if that's the only way I can train. So obviously I didn't know how long this was going to go. I've just lost 2 years out of my amateur career. I got to about 22, I think it was. So that's what I went for.
And you signed with Lee Eaton.
I did, yeah. It was MTK at the time, Lee and Bobby.
Yeah, with MTK,
So, but yeah, no complaints to him. Like, Lee's great. Like, he got me out quick, got me on some good shows.
You fought Muhammad Al Raf, Rafe.
Yeah, from Liverpool, wasn't he, I think.
Right.
But yeah, no, to be fair, it was hard to get an opponent at first. Like, I won't mention no names, but we had a lot of pullouts. Like, I should have boxed a lot earlier than that. We had a lot of pullouts. One person was on the phone to, was there with his manager. And, you know, the pro boxing world is different to this amateur game. Like, it's just business. And I remember they'd be on the phone to him. He was like, we'll come down and we'll box you over 4 rounds. But he was like, you don't stop this kid. And I went, what do you mean don't stop him? He was like, you can't, don't stop him, because he needs to be
the journeyman.
So I went in, I said, so you want me to go in there and you want me to sell all these tickets to these people and you want me to go around and just dance around with this boy for four rounds?
Yeah, because I see both sides. I get, like, if you're the ticket seller, you're 100% you're right. But then also, these lads, it's their livelihood. They're out each week. Mm. They're getting paid each week, aren't they? So I can imagine. So saying that to me is not a surprise. Like, yeah. I can tell that we know the game and we know how it all works with the pro scene as well.
Yeah.
So he just took it and was like, it's whatever happens. It's all fair game.
Yeah. So I literally, the one I was on the phone to, they said to me, was that something you're up for? And I said, no. I said, whoever's coming in front of me, I said, I'm going to come and try and take Red off.
Mm.
Simply that, I don't care if you've got to work next week or anything. Like, if you're my opponent that day, like, that's what I'm going to do. So obviously that was a complication. But then we got him, and I think he had one fight.
When I
boxed him, obviously he lost that fight, but he would come down for the win. So that's what he done, come down for the win. But
I can imagine then with that, it's going to be, because your early career is going to be journeyman eccentric, isn't it? It's going to be journeyman focused, because that's how, obviously, in the pro game you build your, then you'll go southern area, then after southern area you're looking at southern areas 50-50, and then after that it's more 50-50. So and if you're taking people's heads off, I can imagine it's going to be hard to match you up.
That's what I mean. But we didn't ever think about taking those journeyman fights, to be honest. So we took that one, he come down. My second fight that I was supposed to have was against, he was a man, I think I can't remember where he's from, like, is it from some Asian country? I can't remember what it was, but he had 12 fights, and he had 12 won 9, and I think he stopped 6 of them.
Oh, right. So
that was going to be my second fight.
Which is unusual,
Over 6 rounds as well, because I wanted to, because obviously to box for the Southern area, I think you've got to do at least 1 8-rounder, I think, before you can box for the Southern area. So my plan was, got that, my pro debut out of the way, I was going to box this one for over six rounds, do a 50-50 over eight, and then full fight, just get the southern area straight away, and then just go from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be...
It's ambition straight away.
I didn't want to pad my record up. I just wanted to just get there, get it done, get whatever you can do out of it, and get out.
Yeah.
My brain cells. I left them anyway.
Big ticket seller?
Didn't do too bad in my tickets. I think I'd done... it was between 120, 130 tickets for my pro debut, but there was a struggle. It was a struggle, like running about selling tickets, because obviously you've got to literally go and meet all these people and give them the tickets literally to them while you're trying to train, while I'm trying to full-time work as well. Like, it was hassle.
You still coaching boxing?
No, I've stopped doing that job a few years ago now.
Right, what you working?
I work from the water now. So
okay. I can imagine then you're going to be running in the morning, grafting on the water, and then training at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, something that I think massively gets missed when you chat to boxers that are either starting their journey or small hall shows, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not getting signed to your big boys, as in, because Lee Eaton's one of the, like, bit I know, but I'm on about, like, when you're first starting out, you're still going to have to get paid because you're not really getting paid, are you?
No.
But I don't think people realise that.
No, people don't realise that. There's not a lot of money in boxing at first. Like, I think I must have given, I can't remember how much money I given for the tickets, but it was must have been around six grand. Let's say around £6,000 I given for the tickets that I sold. I think out of that fight, I earned about £1,500 out of it.
Yeah.
And then if you're not working full time, imagine that you have a 6 to 8 week camp for £1,500.
At 15, you've got trainers' fees, you've got management fees. Yeah.
So it's not the greatest thing. Until you get to that top end and you start boxing for them titles, well, you've got sponsorship backing, then.
Yeah. I think for British, I think, if I remember rightly, I think Tony Bellew got 15 grand for his first British fight.
It's a joke. And he sold 100 grand worth of tickets, so I think I heard him say.
That was 15 grand for a British title fight. You're thinking, that's a level. People don't understand, like, British title may look easy to go and get, but it's not. It is a really, you have to be really high level to be a British title. 100%. I even think you have to be like a good level to be Southern Area or English. You're still in that top 1% to be Southern Area, aren't you?
100%.
The $1 million question, what's next?
What's next? Well,
as we were speaking off screen,
obviously, I've been out now in February. It'll be 2 years since I've done anything. So I had another break again. Like, obviously, the reason I've done it, because obviously because I didn't have my second pro fight, I broke my hand sparring. That put me out, went back into the going out and stuff, doing all that kind of business. Then you just fall off the ball again. And the motivation goes. And I always said to myself, if I ain't got the motivation to get up in the morning and go for a run, don't bother.
Fair enough.
Just don't bother.
Fair enough, yeah.
So it got to that stage where I used to wake up at, like, before work, look at my alarm and go, do I go running or do I have another hour in bed? And then if I was choosing to just go back to sleep, so then I just stopped it all.
Which is, I think, a normal human reaction, isn't it? I think everyone.
I'll do it every day.
So... because I knew I'm either put everything into something or nothing. So if I'm not going to put everything into boxing, you know how dangerous it is as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be wasting my coach's time. I didn't want to be wasting my time. So I kind of just steered off for a little bit. I went into the coaching side again. So I started coaching the amateurs. I started doing like my personal training. And I was probably making more money doing that than when I was boxing. So then that's what I kind of looked as well. Like, I've got things to pay for. Obviously, when you get older, you've got this
family. You've got it, because boxing's a very selfish sport, it's a very lonely sport. You've got you have to sort of. It's really difficult. You have to think about yourself, and then you're like, So I get the motivations. Obviously, you've got your partner with you here today. Yeah. I have to be really supportive and
got to keep them happy, you know.
So, are you looking to fight again?
Yeah, 100%. I'll definitely fight again, because I don't want to be 10 years from now saying could have, should have.
Mm.
I don't want that regret. So I know I've got to do it now. And I know I can make the time to do it again. Like, obviously, I was training for another fight earlier in the year, obviously, that, like, bare knuckle we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. He was looking to do bare knuckle on Pete Stokes show, weren't you? Yeah.
But when I really sat down and I thought about it, I was fighting a lot heavier weight than I should have been fighting. The man couldn't make the weight anyway that I was supposed to be fighting. And then I was just thinking, why am I doing it? And then the reason I was doing it is because just to please everyone else.
Right.
People who, they're not my friends. They're not my family. They just want to come see two geezers have a scrap down in Rochester. And I thought, what am I getting paid for this? Get paid like peanuts. Like,
yeah.
To potentially go and break both my hands so I can never box again, or to get a serious cut or something where that's going to keep opening up. And when I really thought about it, and I spoke to people about it.
And I imagine down the head. When you lose, people won't speak to you again as well.
No, of course not.
That's what, like, saying this is such a, I can imagine, like, boxing's a really fickle sport as well. Yeah. So we spoke about MMA as well.
We did, yeah.
have to speak about it. I'll cut it out.
I was just doing that because obviously, trying it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's different. It's new. Once you've been doing boxing for how many years I've been doing it for, it's all, well, it's not boring, but it's the same.
Yeah. And you just have to improve the skills that you've got.
But then when you're doing something new, like, I've never done nothing on the ground. I can't kick. I couldn't even lift my leg up past anything. Do you know what I mean? But, once you start training different things and you're learning new things, it's like a nice little refresh.
Mm.
And it does give you a little bit of spark again to go back train and compete again, wherever that be, in a cage or in a ring, who knows.
But yeah,
just getting back out training again, like I have been lately, it just feels good.
Yeah, so you're still signed with Lee?
I'm still signed with Lee.
So the big decision you're gonna have to make is whether you box or MMA or whatever you want to do.
I'll definitely pursue the boxing career professional again. But obviously, a lot of problems I have as well. A lot of professional boxers, they train in the daytime, especially around here. It's hard to find someone to train me who doesn't do it in the daytime, because I work in the day and then I'll get back at a time. So I need it to be like, it's bad, like on my terms. Like, it's hard to find that.
So you've not found like a coach that would happily do that with you? Which surprises.
I spoke to a few.
Yeah.
And I've tried with a few as well. But it's hard, obviously, like the working times and finding the time to train is that's the difficult part.
What about clicking with a coach?
Like, I clicked well with Lee and Chris, to be fair. Like, we got on really well. Obviously when I left, I just didn't go back. I haven't really been doing too much at all, but it's something that, like, a decision I need to make and I really think about if I want to take it serious again.
Fair enough. Anything else you want to add?
I think that's about it.
I want to mention how patient your missus has been waiting for you. Well, first place is, well, I'll come see you for it. If you're there, I'll come watch you.
Yeah, no,
we'll probably be up there doing the media stuff.
You'll see me in the ring next year for sure.
So you fought with Mark Park, wasn't it?
Brentwood, no.
Oh, Brentwood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Under the TM14 boys. Thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Obviously, we look forward to you getting your 24 now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, loads of time. Yeah. Loads of time. And like I said, there's a lot obviously to think about when hopefully whatever you do over the next couple of years and we're still running, we'll get you back on and then we can talk about the second part of your career, which would be good.
Yep,
and then so if you enjoyed the episode, on Patreon, £3 a month, and follow all our socials, the JMS Boxing Podcast. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.